Quarterback back at the five, steps up, gets drilled. Yes, sir, he gets mashed. And that is going to be the ball game. 6-5-4-3. They can't snap it. They can't stop it. They can't win it. Alabama wins the ball game.
Derrick Thomas, linebacker, Alabama.
He was a nightmare for people that had to try to prepare for him because he had unique skills.
Just go get the quarterback. I felt sorry for some of those poor tackles that came in and had to go against him because they didn't realize what they were getting themselves into.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Woo! Son, I got to do better than this.
Lights out.
Sacking the cornerback is just like you devastate a city, or you cream a multitude of people. I mean, it's just like you put all the offensive players in one bag, and I just take a baseball bat and beat on the bag. So each time he came over there, I tried to tear his damn head off.
Let's play some football. Let's play some football.
The pressure is on. This is Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Focus on what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. Think about that. Don't think about how you feel, how tired you are, how hot it is. You got to push yourself on the field when you're playing football.
It's my honor to present the National Championship Trophy to Coach Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
To me, this is the ultimate team. All these guys bought into everything they needed to do to be the best players that they could be. There's more togetherness on this team than almost any team that we've ever had. And they had to overcome and persevere so much adversity through this season. And they've done it magnificently. And I'm so proud of this group for what they've been able to accomplish in going undefeated and winning the national championship.
Streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and the Tide 100.9 app. Here is your host of Off the Edge, Jacob Harrison.
There, good morning and welcome in to Off the Edge right here on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. Joe Gaither, Mason Woods, and Nathan Reed hanging out with you guys. Jacob Harrison not feeling too well, still recovering, doing better, still recovering. But we are going to be with you for the next hour and change talking Alabama sports, Alabama football, Alabama baseball, and much, much more. Right here on Tide 100.9. Let me tell you about Alabama Vintage real quick in the green awning on University Boulevard. Charlie and the gang's got all your Alabama gear that you could want, hats, T-shirts, jackets, all kinds of gear at Alabama Vintage. And we thank them for sponsoring the program. The Alabama Vintage Hotline is open for business at 205-342-9904. We're going to be talking to our friend Joey Blackwell. Joey Blackwell's got his rain boots on. He's got his umbrella. He is up there at Hoover. Well, he's probably not at Hoover today because Alabama baseball was victorious yesterday against the Arkansas Razorbacks. Congratulations. Alabama baseball now has won two games in 2 days and keeps the momentum rolling. If you missed any of that game, actually, SEC Network is replaying the Alabama-Arkansas game because they haven't started play today. Texas A&M and Florida were supposed to start at 9:30, and obviously it is not 9:30, and they still haven't started. Their start time is to be determined, and why is that important to Alabama? Well, Alabama's next game is supposed to be against the winner of this Texas A&M and Florida game that it was supposed to start an hour and a half ago. So we'll see what ends up happening with the SEC baseball schedule. We'll get into that with Joey Blackwell. He'll be able to tell us what his favorite thing to do during a rain delay is. Mason, what's your favorite thing to do during a rain delay? I know you're a big Atlanta Braves fan. Nathan Reed, a huge fan as well of baseball. What do you like to do during a rain delay? Let's make that an ancillary topic for today's off the edge topic. You can call in at 205-342-9904. But where I want to start before we get to Joey Blackwell, he's going to join us about 11:15, 11:20. Before we get to Joey Blackwell, I want to talk about Lane Kiffin. Lane Train, we all know he likes to stir the pot. He likes to be a little meddler, likes to mess around and kind of get things going. Lane Kiffin, giving an interview to Sports Illustrated, and let's put this into context after I set it up. Lane Kiffin giving an interview to Sports Illustrated saying that Bryce Young should have entered the transfer portal. Why? To maximize his NIL opportunities. Not that he should have left Alabama, because we all know you go to the portal, you can come back. Sure, absolutely. But you should... Lane Kiffin saying he should have gone into the transfer portal to maximize his NIL opportunities. We all know that Bryce Young was not NFL draft eligible this past spring. He probably would have been taken ahead of every quarterback that was selected. I'm sorry, Kenny Smallhands Pickett. You would have been drafted behind Bryce Young if Bryce Young was draft eligible. But Bryce Young was not draft eligible. Thank the Lord and praise God and roll tide for you and me. We get to keep Bryce Young for one more season and see his magnificence on display for another year in Bryant Denny Stadium. But due to the NFL rules, he was not draft eligible. He didn't challenge them like Maurice Claret did, the prior Ohio State running back. So Lane Kiffin is suggesting that the proper move would have been to enter the transfer portal to leverage Alabama against other schools and maximize his NIL value. Now, Lane Kiffin, first off, don't talk about our quarterback. Don't talk about our quarterback. You got your own quarterbacks to worry about. You got your own players to worry about. But here the context is, and the interesting context is that, you know, he likely gave this interview to Sports Illustrated a couple of weeks ago. And it's just interesting timing that has come out now after the Jimbo Fisher Lane Kiffin saga that has continued to unfold and will continue to unfold into next week's spring meetings in Destin, Florida. This interview was likely given prior to all the Jimbo Fisher and Lane Kiffin and Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban dust up. But it's very interesting, and it presents an interesting paradigm with Bryce Young. Who would have paid how much money for Bryce Young? I know that On3's NIL valuation values Bryce Young at $3 million. It's saying that's about what he's worth, and I think that's about right for a college quarterback, every kind of what he's providing Alabama football. The most valuable player on the team, or the second most valuable player on the team, depending on how you look at Will Anderson and value defensive end over quarterback. They're both the top guys on each side of the ball. So depends on if you're an offense guy or a defense guy, do you value the quarterback or the defensive end more? But $3 million seems about right. But we all know the desperation in college football. If Bryce Young had gone into the transfer portal and said, I'm going to the highest bidder, kind of like Jordan Addison did at Pittsburgh. If I'm going to the highest bidder, who can pay me what? What would Texas A&M have paid for 1 year Bryce Young? What would the University of Miami, that's my main candidate, the University of Miami have paid for 1 year Bryce Young? Now, USC is set with their guy Caleb Williams. He came with Lincoln Riley, but let's be honest, Bryce Young definitely better than Caleb Williams. He's a whole head and shoulders above Caleb Williams. I think Caleb Williams is a fine player, but Bryce Young definitely better than them. What would they have paid? They probably wouldn't have paid as much because, you know, they know, oh, we've got Caleb Williams, we don't need him as badly. But University of Miami, University of Tennessee, you got Hendon Hooker at Tennessee, but that, so that's you know, that maybe takes them out of the race a little bit. Would Lane Kiffin have said, well, you get my salary this year, Bryce Young? I will pay you my, you know, I'll funnel my salary through an Ole Miss Ole Miss, what is a collective? You know, they probably got a collective called the Grove, something fancy like that. What would Lane Kiffin have done to get his hands on Bryce Young for 1 year? Do you see him with Billy Napier getting rid of Anthony Richardson down at Florida? Like how would that have played out? I think the University of Miami would have presented a huge competition for Alabama. But let's all kind of step back a little bit. We all know Bryce Young, good guy. Bryce Young, dedicated. Bryce Young, loyal. Bryce Young seems like the kind of guy who is just is a man of his word and really is not about that flashy, you know, high money, chase the money kind of guy. Nick Saban, we remember last year, said that he made over $1 million before taking a snap here at the Capstone. And that's awesome. But Bryce Young, how much money would he have been offered from other schools trying to get him away from the Alabama Crimson Tide? Now, Martin Houston this morning, and I talked about it just a little bit, and Martin wondered if it was going to be a trend in college football. And Ryan Fowler's been wondering and suggesting, oh, my gosh, this is going to be the end. This is going to be ruining college football. We're going to be buying players off of other teams' rosters. And we did sort of see that with Pittsburgh's Jordan Addison going out to USC. And let's all be honest. Let's all put that under the microscope. Jordan Addison was not even in the transfer portal yet when we all heard, oh, he might be going in the transfer portal and he might be going to USC and he might be going to USC for a $3 million NIL deal. And it was a couple of days later that he did end up in the transfer portal. And Jordan Addison played the game. Give him some credit. Jordan Addison played the game. Oh, Texas, I'm interested in you. Oh, Alabama, I'm interested in you. Oh, USC, I'm interested in you. You know, he played the game. He did the dance for the optics. He did the official visit at Texas. And he threw passes with Bryce Young, this, that, and the other. But ultimately, he ended up at USC just like the original news said. Was Lincoln Riley suggesting, hey, you do this dog and pony show parade just to make sure that Pat Narduzzi didn't come kick my ass because I just paid you $3 million. I kind of think it was. I think it was just a dog and pony show just to get him back, just to get him at USC and just to give Lincoln Riley some plausible deniability. Oh, no, I didn't straight up buy him off of the Pittsburgh roster. We didn't do that. Now, I think the Jordan Addison situation is going to be few and far between. And so to answer, you know, Ryan Fowler's hypothetical, oh, this is going to ruin college football. Oh, what are we going to do? You know, this, that, and the other. And you know, Martin Houston asking if it's going to be a trend. I don't think it's going to be a trend in college football. However, I think that Martin made a great point this morning saying when you look at the Jordan Addison situation, he went to a bigger, more high-profile school. And he said it's not going to happen to Alabama. It's not going to happen to Bryce Young. It's not going to happen to Will Anderson and the like, because why would you leave Alabama? What's the advantage of leaving Alabama if you're one of the starters and you're making, you know, probably fair NIL money? What's the advantage do you get? Because along with Alabama, you get all the other perks that Nick Saban's been selling for 15 years. Direct pathway to the NFL, high-level character development, high-level academic development, training you how to become a professional. All the things that you came to Alabama originally for are still going to be there. So, do you think it's going to be a trend in college football? Are you worried that it's going to ruin the game? I hate when people say that. I absolutely hate. It's going to ruin the game. Let me tell you this. No matter what happens to the game in 4, 10, 15, 20 years, you, your sons, me, my sons, we're all going to be watching Alabama football on Saturdays. And we're going to say Roll Tide, and they're going to be taking on Auburn. They're going to be taking on Tennessee, LSUs, and the like. And we're still going to be playing college football. And we're all going to watch it. You know, the forward pass is going to ruin the game. It's going to ruin the game. And now we love the forward pass. Oh, the RPO, it's going to ruin the game. Oh, you know, this, that, and the other. Oh, we can't let freshmen play. You remember when freshmen weren't allowed to play in their first seasons in college athletics? You know, Lou Alcindor sitting at UCLA, and we remember the Sam Cunningham story. You know, the freshmen, you can't let them play. like college sports and college athletics has gone has undertaken changes many times. And you always get the people, it's going to ruin the sport. It's going to ruin the game. No, it's not. The game will just change, but we'll all continue to watch it. And let's be honest, the game is more popular today than it really ever has been. We're going to take our break right here because usually my man Jacob Harrison talks to Joey Blackwell on Thursdays, and we will catch up with Joey Blackwell. I'll ask him about his thoughts about Lane Kiffin making those comments. I haven't really talked to him. I know that Jacob talked to him last week about the Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban stuff. We'll find out a little bit more about, you know, his reaction. If he's going down to Destin, I know he's going to be all over Bama Central's coverage of Alabama baseball in the postseason, and if the Tide continues to win, then they're going to continue to play. So we're going to take our break right here, Mason. When we come back, we'll be joined by our friend Joey Blackwell of Bama Central right here on Off the Edge on Tide 100.9. This is the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
COVID-19 has disrupted our lives, but it won't have the last word. We will. Across Alabama, thousands are getting vaccinated to protect themselves and others. Find out where you can get the COVID vaccine today at alabamaunites.com. Please get vaccinated. If you have symptoms, also get tested for COVID-19. Alabama Unites Against COVID. Sponsored by the ADPH, the ABA, and this station.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Showers and a few strong thunderstorms are likely across West Alabama this afternoon and this evening. The sky clearing late tonight. The high today 76, the low tonight 60. A dry day tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny with a high at 78. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow Off the Edge on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube for live streams and instant analysis. Off the Edge with Jacob Harrison continues.
Welcome back into Off the Edge on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. Show is proudly presented by Alabama Vintage. Joe Gaither, my friend Mason Woods, Nathan Reed, all hanging out with you guys for next hour, setting up the Jay Barker Show coming on at noon. Jay Barker will be joined by Chris Stewart, Alabama play-by-play man for Crimson Tide Sports Network. He's been all over the Alabama baseball action this week. And to kind of continue that theme, we'll be joined by our friend Joey Blackwell. Joey Blackwell, Alabama beat reporter for Bama Central. You can find him on Twitter at Blackwell Sports. My friend Joey, how are you doing today, sir?
Doing well, Mr. Gaither. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm having a good day so far. I want to know, you know, are your rain boots worn out from this week up in Hoover?
Absolutely. They're waterlogged from the past couple of days, but fortunately have that off day today and get to kind of sit at home and hopefully watch some other SEC baseball if these games ever get started.
Well, I'm watching Alabama, Arkansas right here in the studio. Alabama's up 4-1 in the bottom of the fourth. What are you doing? You're not working?
I must have missed the memo.
No, the SEC Network is replaying Alabama's game yesterday because the Texas A&M and Florida game is still yet to get underway. And, Joey, I just want to ask you, in your time covering baseball, you know, Alabama baseball getting to back-to-back SEC tournaments, I believe, for the first time since 2010, 2011. Please correct me there. So have you ever seen anything like this with the SEC tournament with their schedule getting so jacked up?
Well, you know, I was talking to a couple of guys in the press box yesterday about how these rain delays have really only benefited Alabama so far. Alabama's the one team that has benefited from it. And the reason I say that is because And the whole reason that's the case because they had that 9:30 game on Tuesday. With that 9:30 game, they were the only team that had their game finished during normal hours during the day. And then of course yesterday having the second game, they were able to get that game in. So really, Alabama's the only team that's gotten seemingly so far every single one of their games that they were supposed to have done in so far. But you know, it's In all my years of covering Alabama baseball, no, I will answer your question with that. I haven't seen anything like this. It begs the question of how they're going to get this tournament done before Selection Sunday or Selection Monday at noon. No doubt they'll get it done. They'll figure something out. But as of right now, it's kind of turned into just a huge mess out here in Hoover for scheduling.
Well, that's the question that I've been having as well. It's like they have to figure out a way. Are they going to make it a single elimination tournament? Are they going to find another field? Obviously, there's all kinds of options that are on the table. Do you have any insight, or what would you do if you were Greg Sankey in the conference office, Joey Blackwell, the czar of baseball? What would you decide?
Well, first things first, I think if I was to turn it into a single elimination tournament, I would have to have all of today's games finished first. And the reason I say that is because the SEC is not going to come out today with all the games that have to be played today and say they're going to turn it into a single elimination tournament when 3-seed Arkansas was knocked out yesterday. Mm-hmm. That would be incredibly unfair to Arkansas and to just the tournament in general. I know Alabama fans might shake their heads and say, well, Arkansas had their chance, they lost, but at the same time, it just when you have so it's much there's much more at stake than just this tournament. It's about seeding for NCAA regionals. It means a lot more than just winning the SEC title this week. So if all of today's games were completed, I think that would really set up a solid single elimination tournament between Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But should that be the case, I either find a second site to play where you could play games simultaneously. I know that the other site wouldn't be broadcast. There's actually a field not too far from the Hoover Met that was just built a couple of years ago that's built to the same size, like identically the same size as the Hoover Met that they could play on. Now, that game wouldn't be broadcast, but they could still fit these games in moments where there's sunshine. And the good news is we're not supposed to have a lot of rain tomorrow through Sunday. So if they can just squeeze these games in today, I think we're going to be in a lot better shape heading into the weekend.
There's nobody playing down here at the Joe. We can come on, bring a game down here. We got TV wells, and we can put them right, put people in the press box. That'd be great.
That's all Tide 100.9 favorite Hunter Johnson advocating for that on Twitter yesterday. And at first it may be laugh, and then I was like, well, that's not actually a bad idea.
At this point, everything needs to be on the table. So because we have to get it in, and you talk about the Arkansas game tonight. Well, they're in real bad limbo because they're supposed to play the loser of this first game, A&M in Florida, that hasn't started yet. So I just don't know what's going to happen. Let's push the logistics aside here, and I just want to get your opinion. You've been covering the team all year. The kind of momentum that they've built really in the last week and change, taking down Arkansas 3 out of 4 times, obviously winning the home series here in Tuscaloosa over the weekend, and then beating Georgia and Arkansas back-to-back in Hoover. Is Alabama playing its way into a regional?
I think they are. I've been saying this whole week leading up to the tournament that Alabama had to make it to Friday to make a regional. And yes, they don't have a game today, but they are making it to Friday. And at worst, their tournament's going to end Saturday at mm-hmm. worst. I really like their odds right now. They started the week as a next 4-out team. And then with the win over Georgia, they were first 4-out. And then with the win against Arkansas yesterday, they're actually projected as a 3-seed. Heading to face Oregon State out there in that regional. So I really like their odds. If they can pick up one more win, I think that really cements it. But as of right now, even if they lose the next 2 games, even if they're close, I still think they make it as of right now.
Talking to Joey Blackwell at Blackwell Sports, beat writer for Bama Central, covering all things Alabama, but specifically baseball during the spring season. Joey, I want to get your opinion on the way that Alabama used his bullpen yesterday against the Arkansas Razorbacks. I think we've been kind of hearing a theme from fans and people going to close, watching the program, that Alabama may not have been using his bullpen as effectively or as in the manner that people would have liked throughout the season. Alabama losing several leads during the year, but yesterday bringing in a handful of pitchers and really having a quick hook on some of these pitchers. Just want to get your opinion on the use of the bullpen and then the performance for Antoine John.
Well, yesterday I thought that it was one of Coach Jason Jackson, JJ. I thought it was one of JJ's best coaching games for making pitching substitutions. Mm-hmm. I thought that he brought in Leger at the perfect time.
Yeah.
Didn't let, because that game was starting to slip from McNary, and he beat it to the punch. Whereas Alabama, this entire season, one of their issues is they leave pitchers in too long. And I thought that Leger going in there was perfect. Green taking it from him. And then John, of course, having was only giving up one hit in two innings. I thought they kept John in a little bit too long, and I remember saying as such to a couple of guys in the press box, but JJ proved me wrong. He kept him in for the exact amount of time, and then you have Ray come in there and get that final swinging strikeout in the dirt to win the game. And I was very impressed by Antoine John, after a season that he's been hampered with injuries and didn't play for the majority of the season. He's come back really, really strong, and this is exactly when Alabama's needed him. And I'd like to also give a shout-out to Ben Hess for his performance on Tuesday. I mean, he was just absolutely lights out, really outperformed in a really high-pressure situation after having to take over after the rain delay and having the same stat line, except he had 4.1 innings pitched, and he only gave up one hit with 10 strikeouts. I think he had 8 in a row at one point. So just really, really impressive stuff from this Alabama bullpen over the past couple of days. And with this day off, you potentially could start Garrett McMillan tomorrow if you wanted to. They'll probably go with Grayson Hitt, but they could start GMAC if they wanted to. And they're going to have their entire bullpen rested today. So just you really like this pitching situation for Alabama heading into tomorrow.
Yep, things have been, falling into place for the Crimson Tide, at least for the last week and a half, and especially this week in Hoover. I want to get your opinion, conceptually speaking, on the approach to the tournament. We've heard a couple different fans saying, Arkansas's not trying at this point. Oh, some of these teams that are already well in the tournament are not going all out to win these games. So Alabama's, two victories shouldn't count as much, or, Alabama shouldn't have put themselves in this desperate position versus the teams that are already in. And to that I say, I just think that at this point Alabama needs to do whatever it needs to do and not detract from not really care and detract from what these other programs are doing and their approach to the tournament. Do you have any, is there any sort of luster lost on these two victories and then whatever the rest of the tournament will have, because maybe some of these other teams are forward focused on regionals and the NCAA tournament?
Well, I definitely don't think that for Georgia. Georgia coming in as a 6 seed, the highest ranked seed that plays in a single elimination game to start the tournament. There's no way that they didn't want to advance.
Sure.
There's no way they didn't fight tooth and nail in that game. And they did, they had a really good, strong comeback effort that was stopped short. I kind of throw that out the window when it comes to Georgia, because there's no doubt they wanted to win that game, because guess what? They lost that game and now they're home. That was it for them. And the SEC tournament is a great way to improve your seeding. Any conference tournament is a great way to improve your seeding heading into a regional play. So I throw that out the window with Georgia. Arkansas, I'm a little bit more inclined to believe that, but I also just think it was a situation where Alabama has just had Arkansas's number lately. But like you said to start the segment, Alabama's now bested them 3 times out of 4 games over the past week. I thought that Arkansas was going to come out and, throwing punches, just because no doubt, they were going to be a 2 seed in this tournament. And then of course, Alabama kind of ruined that for them this past weekend, and they dropped to a 3 seed, and A&M won the Western Division. So, I don't think it's for lack of trying, excuse me, sorry. But I do believe that, There's no way that either Arkansas or Georgia was throwing any less effort than they normally would. I think this is just an Alabama team that's found its rhythm, that's red hot right now after so many weeks of falling apart. I think they've really come together around this tournament, and I'm really excited to see what they, what they have in the bag for this weekend.
Absolutely. We're talking to Joey Blackwell. Joey, you feeling okay, man? Is it been out in the rain the last 2 days?
Yeah, I had a really bad cold this past week, really bad, and I'm still getting over some residual chest stuff. So,
all right, just going to check in. Don't let Chris Walsh kill you throwing you out there in the rain.
No, I'm good.
All right, that's good. Joey, we opened the segment talking about, or we opened the show talking about Lane Kiffin and his comments to one of your buddies here at Sports Illustrated, saying that Bryce Young should have entered the transfer portal to leverage his NIL money. And just on the surface, how do you react to those comments?
You know, I think right off the top, you know, I think that that would be a very strong business decision if you think about football from a business perspective and from a, you know, from a financial standpoint. But, you know, and a lot of players do think about it that way. But I think that that doesn't necessarily apply to Bryce Young. I mean, the dude just won the Heisman Trophy and played in a national championship game for Alabama. So I hardly think that financial worry is, you know, worried about getting more money is on the top of his mind. He's definitely set up. You know, making, you know, we still don't know exactly how much he made, but if what everybody's been saying is true, he made over $1 million last year. So I don't know if that necessarily applies to him, but I get the sentiment behind Lane Kiffin's comments on that. You know, I do think that a lot more players are starting to see college football as a way to make money as a business rather than a way to, you know, improve standing and heading to the NFL. So I understand the sentiment behind that, those comments, but I don't know if they necessarily apply to Bryce Young.
And so I want to take that to a conceptual standpoint. My man Ryan Fowler in the afternoon was playing it's going to ruin college football. We're buying players off other rosters. We're going to encourage, you know, this, that, and the other. And I think that's overblown. Personally, I think that's going to be few and far between. What do you say to that?
You know, I don't. Ultimately, with the way that it's set up right now, there's no questioning that it's going to impact the game. Well, you know, will it ruin it? No, I don't think it will ruin it. But I do think that there is a higher chance of ruining it with the way it's currently set up than if they don't go in and make some changes, make some rule changes, you know, put some guidelines in place. Because, you know, we're talking about, you know, Lane Kiffin said yesterday, one of the quotes that he brought up that I think makes the most sense was he's talking about how, you know, collectives now, the way collectives work, it's basically stuff that was cheating 3 years ago is now being made legal. You just have these NIL collectives that are just making payments to players, which is not what NIL is supposed to be about. NIL is supposed to be you're getting paid for your name, image, and likeness, whether it be endorsing products or and the like. Whereas these collectives are simply, oh, you play football for, you know, Texas or Alabama or Ole Miss or whatever. Oh, you play football for them? Well, here's your check, you know. And that's not how things are supposed to be set up. And it does also, you know, Lane Kiffin alluded to this, which is something I've been saying for a while. You know, even if you don't use it directly in recruiting, it is something that is on the back of players' minds. And it's definitely a heavy tool in helping players decide where they want to go. Well, you know, I'd probably get more playing time at X school, but I have a lot higher, you know, chance of earning money at Y school, you know. And that's definitely a decision that players have to make now. Even if it isn't, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of schools that are, you know, under the table, you know, touting that. But then there are a lot of schools that aren't. But players still have to make that decision regardless. So I don't think it's, you know, going to ruin the game. But at the same time, there's no doubt that they're, you know, it made the world of college football a lot more intricate.
Joey, digging into that a little bit more, I've always thought of, you know, paying the players. Now this is not, I agree, it's not name, image, and likeness, but when you go to Alabama, you are, when you go to any of these big schools, you're part of a program that's making a lot of money for that school. And whether you're the left end, you're the, you know, end guard tackle of the water on the end, or if you're Bryce Young, you're still putting in that work, and you're basically, you know, a part of that valuation and a part of that money pool that's making money for the school. So what's the difference how do you parse that between, okay, yeah, you're a freshman and you just signed your letter of intent. You just signed on with Texas A&M. So here's your NIL deal. Doesn't that go hand in hand with, okay, here's what, you know, a percentage or a piece of the pie of the money that you're making for Texas A&M, even if you're not on the field, or it's the same for Alabama or any of these large schools?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that? That little last bit. Sorry, my dog just climbed in my lap and threw my stuff.
No, that's fine. That's fine. All these large schools are making all the football players at these larger schools are making money for the school. And we all know major college football. It has been a big money maker for a lot of these universities. And so whether you're the in guard tackle, never getting any playing time, or whether you're the star quarterback. Shouldn't you be receiving a piece of that pie? I know that Nick Saban, has been talking about, name, image, and likeness is, what you can earn. But isn't my name, image, and likeness, the fact that I'm wearing number 63 for Alabama, even if you never see me, isn't that worth something? So when people talk about, A&M's paying their players and they're paying recruits and they're paying guys who, haven't even got on the field yet, they're still doing that work. They're part of the program that makes a lot of money for the school. Shouldn't some of that funnel down to them?
No, I believe it should. Like you said, the college football, institutions have made millions and billions of dollars really off of these players for years. But this money, this money isn't coming from the school. It's coming from boosters. And boosters can decide. It gives the boosters a lot of power, because I can guarantee you that they're not paying the same money to that to that tackle that they're paying the starting quarterback. And which, goes back to NIL is not supposed to be paid based off of performance on the field. You're not supposed to pay, even if it is, whether it's retroactively or ahead of the game, it's not supposed to be based off of performance, right? It's supposed to be purely based off of recognition, name, image, and likeness, which is something that Nick Saban has been harping on for a long time. These players are supposed to be paid strictly for NIL, not just because they show up, right? It's a sticky situation. Obviously, schools right now aren't paying players. That's not how it's supposed to be. They're paid through collectives or paid through endorsement deals, which is purely how it was supposed to be.
Right.
But at the same time, I understand where you're coming from, but at the same time, I'm very hesitant for players to start receiving paychecks, whether it be from schools or collectives, simply just for showing up. Because the schools already give them, a decent admit. You're getting a free education, you're getting room and board, you're getting, books, you're getting stipends, you're getting scholarships, you're getting, there's just a lot of things that student athletes benefit from the school. So I don't think that burden is also on the school. But I do believe that there does need to be change, and that players do need to, receive more compensation. I just don't think it needs to come from the school directly.
And I agree with you that, and the schools don't want that because they don't want to foot that bill. I'm hearing Coach Saban talk about, we need to, have better regulations and guardrails, but the regulations and guardrails would just put a lot more responsibility on the schools. And I don't think the university compliance, and I don't think the university's, the budget really wants to deal with that. And so when you outsource some of those payments, you outsource the economic impact onto your boosters. I think that's that's the way that it's going to be able to, we've heard sustainable. That's the way that, you're going to be able to keep these universities operating at a normal level, because the boosters are footing that bill.
My question is this, I agree with you, outsourcing these basically, air quotes payments.
Yes.
To boosters definitely reduces a lot of the financial liability. But the question that I have for the future of college football and NIL is, does it reduce the infractions liability? If something were to come about, would the school still be liable for these things happening under their eye, or will the boosters and the collective purely be responsible should they break rules and do things, under the table or illegally? That has yet to be seen. If the school will be involved, because technically, for example, Rising Tide, I think, is Alabama's collective. It operates independently of the school, right? It's its own separate entity. And so should they, ever be found, fingers crossed they don't, but should they ever be found, be doing things illegally, you know, it raises the question, would Alabama also be in trouble for something that a separate entity did? So there's just a lot of things like that that make me, you know, kind of scratch my head and make me, you know, call for more regulation and more rules to be put in place.
I think that's a good. I think that's a good point, and that's going to be interesting to see how that might be determined or so. Joey, tell us everybody about what you do. I open the show with a couple of rain jokes. What's your go to rain delay activity?
Go to rain delay activity. Well, these past few days, you'll probably laugh at me, but my wife has gotten me heavily invested in the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial. So during these past couple of days when they haven't been playing, I've been turning on the live stream and watching that. So I'll have something to talk to my wife, you know, about when I get home. So that's what I've been doing lately.
I can't blame you for that. A lot of entertaining lawyering, if that's a word, going on there.
Yes, sir. But, you know, normally, you know, it's just goofing off. You know me. Anybody that knows me, I'm the big goof. So that's pretty much what I do. Try to, you know, pull pranks on people and make, just lighten the mood. That's my typical go-to right there.
Absolutely. Joey, thank you so much for hanging out with us on Off the Edge today. Let everybody know where they can find you and find the rest of the baseball coverage with Bama Central.
Absolutely. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Black Wolf Sports. I post a lot of live updates, not just for Alabama, but for this whole tournament as a whole on there. And then all my stories you can find on BamaCentral.com. Of course, I'll be back tomorrow through the weekend. As long as Alabama's playing, I will be there. And we got some great stuff coming up next week for SEC meetings. So everybody stay tuned to Bama Central. I appreciate you having me, Joe. It's always a pleasure.
No problem, Joey. I hope to see you tomorrow, man.
Absolutely. Sounds good, man.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide. That's Joey Blackwell on Off the Edge. Join us there. And, man, I love that guy, honestly. Good friend and really, really great reporter. So let's take a break right here, Mason. We'll come back. We'll finish it up and set everybody up for the Jay Barker Show on Tide 100.9, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
We aren't going anywhere. Off the Edge is available in the podcast center on Tide100.9.com.
Alabama up 4-1 in the bottom of the fifth. Got to hang on against Arkansas. Oh, wait, that's not live. That is not live. Alabama winning yesterday 4-3 against these Arkansas Razorbacks. Ooh, pig suey. I tried to have a little pork yesterday for dinner, but the restaurant I went out to, they were out of pulled pork. Unfortunate. But yeah, welcome back into Off the Edge right here on Tide 100.9. Joe Gaither, Mason Woods, and Nathan Reed hanging out with you today, talking Alabama baseball with Joey Blackwell. I want to thank him for giving us so much of his time. Very generous. Talking about Alabama football with Lane Kiffin and NIL. And that's really what I think. You have a very big mixture here. You have a mixture of philosophies. Nick Saban's philosophy of, oh, you need to earn it on the field. You need to earn it with your name, image, and likeness, which I think is perfectly fair. There's nothing wrong with having that perspective. I think that's the way everything was set up. But, you know, I think there's the way it was intended and the way it's become. The way it's become and becoming is basically you play for my school. My school is worth this much money on the field, and here's your piece of that pie if you're coming to A&M. The same thing's going on at the University of Miami. All you got to do is read about this billionaire Ruiz and basically his philosophy. He said, I'm signing NIL deals for anybody that is an athlete at UM because of how much money they're making for the school and you know how much they're impacting my business. He's cigarette racing, and he's got a second business that they're doing commercials for, and he thinks it's a good business venture for him. I think that you've got a mixture here of philosophies of, oh, you know, you come to Alabama, what What was the Alabama? What was the Alabama football budget last year? Was it over $100 million in return? So these players need a piece of the pie. And I know that Nick Saban wants more control, but here's the thing: when it comes to control, you know, if you put the onus on the universities. Well, man, Nick Saban, your salary might get cut. Your budget for facilities might get cut. Different things might have to go to foot the bill for these players.
Would Nick Saban take a pay cut to stay competitive amidst the NIL?
Yes,
stuff?
Yes, because of all his other business, he'd be doing more Affleck commercials. He'd be doing more Mercedes-Benz dealerships. He'd be doing a lot more, you know, public speaking events. But yes, I bet you at this point with the money that Coach Saban's made. Now I'm not speaking for Coach Saban, but I bet you he'd work for $1. I think that he loves the game. He loves the program. He loves staying competitive. And the money that he's making is just a point of pride. You know, he's able to say, come play for the highest paid coach in college football. And obviously it helps. Obviously it makes Miss Terry happy. And we want the Sabres to be very, very comfortable. Thank you for everything that you've done for the city of Tuscaloosa. Honestly, you have been underpaid for over 15 years. You have been underpaid for what you've done for the university and the city of Tuscaloosa. Thank you for that. But I just wonder the difference philosophies about NIL. And you know, if you want there to be more control, then it might end up being the responsibility might be end up being thrown onto the player onto the schools, and that might cause a problem for facilities for this and that and the other. Let's head out. We've got a couple of minutes left, and we'll find our friend Max on the Alabama Vintage Hotline. Max, what's going on, man? You're off the edge.
What's up, Joe? It's good to talk to you, brother.
Absolutely. How you doing today, sir?
Man, I'm doing okay. I'm sitting here on my lunch break, man.
What's for lunch?
Do what?
What's for lunch?
My wife and I made fried pork chops, mashed potatoes, green beans, and cream corn yesterday.
Sounds great. Absolutely.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, I was cooking my dad's Cajun fried pork chops, so.
Sounds like a great meal. Save me some. I'll be there in an hour.
Yeah, right on, brother. I got you one. Butterfly pork chop, man. Come on.
What's on your mind today? What's on your mind today about NIL and Alabama football?
Well, the NIL, dude. I said it several times. People are not listening to the words that Saban said. Not that Saban wasn't wrong when he called out a certain school. But he wasn't necessarily saying they cheated, and he wasn't saying they did anything wrong. He was just using them as examples for this is why we've got to fix this rule. And people have taken that out of context, and Jimbo did especially, because Jimbo was not saying – I mean, Nick Saban was not saying Jimbo cheated. He was just saying this is what Texas A&M was allowed to do because we have no rules – with this NIL stuff, and this is not what it's supposed to be. Deion Sanders did not cheat, but this is what happened down there at Jackson State because they're allowing it. And we got to change this. And I don't know why people don't understand that.
I agree that he wasn't really saying anybody was cheating, 100%. But what's turned into what NIL is turning into is these schools that are very wealthy are basically saying we've got the money to burn, so we're gonna pay our athletes, and whether they're doing commercials or whether they're doing this, that, and the other, like whether they're earning it or not on the field. And so it becomes a different philosophy. It becomes a differences of philosophies. How do you use NIL? How do you define NIL? Do you define it based on you're the Heisman Trophy winner? And if so, obviously here's all your NIL, Bryce Young. We love you. Or do you define it as you just have to be an Alabama football player because Alabama football makes $100 million a year?
Well, you use the rules to the extent of the rule to betterment of your program. So if you're allowed to do that, go do it. Because Saban pushes all the way to the edge of the rules to give us an advantage. So I can't blame Jimbo for doing what he was doing or Deion. And I think that's what Nick Saban was trying to say.
Yeah, yeah.
But if we don't fix this, there's not going to be any parity. There's going to be teams that are going to stay on top and kill everybody. And if they don't think that Alabama can kind of hang in there with everybody with money, they're crazy, because we can.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Max. I hope you have a great day, my friend. That's it. That's going to do it for Off the Edge. We've got Jay Barker Show coming up next.
Did you know not washing your hands after using the bathroom can increase the spread of hepatitis A? Washing your hands with soap and water, as well as getting vaccinated, is the best way to protect yourself if you are at risk of getting hepatitis A. One dose of the hepatitis A vaccine provides long-lasting protection in up to 95% of those who receive it. For more information on the hepatitis A outbreak in our state, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM. Sponsored by the Alabama Department of Public Health, the ABA, and this station.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Showers and a few strong thunderstorms are likely across West Alabama this afternoon and this evening. The sky clearing late tonight. The high today 76, the low tonight 60. A dry day tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny with a high at 78. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Thank you for listening to